This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good morning, everybody. Just really wanted to introduce this next session, which is being done jointly by myself, as introduced from UCAS. I'm involved in the postgraduate application service that UCAS offers, and Charlie Ball. We're doing the presentation this morning jointly, as the two organisations work very closely in relation to providing the application service for postgraduates. Just wanted to take this opportunity, for those of you that aren't aware of how the two organisations are linked. UCAS offers the postgraduate service, relatively new, two or three years in its two years on from when we launched it, and Graduate Prospects, obviously, and HECSU as one organisation. Together we provide the application service for postgrad. But I also thought I'd take the opportunity today, because just a couple of years ago, I know it's a question that a lot of institutions ask us in relation to the collection of postgraduate data. As you're aware, there are all sorts of different sources and collection points for that. And you, a couple of years ago in this very hotel, I was asked the same question, can we not provide it just the once? And then it saves us a lot of work, and then it can be used whatever. I'm pleased to be able to say, and I thought it was a good opportunity today, that through Graduate Prospects and UCAS, we are now exploring the opportunity, and we've started discussions in collecting that data, so that we will do that together, so that you will be able to provide that information just the once. So just wanted to set the scene as to how the two organisations are linked. Just as the sponsor of the event, I just wanted to introduce Charlie in what he's going to cover. But before I do that, just wanted to give a UCAS perspective, with this session being postgraduates in the recession, from the point of view of the applications. It will come as no surprise, and Charlie will go into it in much more detail, that in recession, quite often and has done in the past, we see an associated growth in the number of people who take the opportunity to go into higher education. And from UCAS, just a few sort of headlines there. The undergraduate system, you'll see the highest in the last fourth year running, it's a rise. And same too for the postgraduate applications that we as an organisation are also seeing. GTTR, the Graduate Teacher Training Registry, as you know, UCAS operates. Just there on that graph, the red circle, no surprise, that sharp corner going upwards around about 2008, 2009 is indicative of the climate that we're operating in, and Charlie will say much more about that. Same applying as we're starting to see in UK Pass, with the data being gathered centrally in relation to that as well. GTTR itself has seen, just used that red circle there, has seen a growth of about 26.8% based on last year, so quite high. Just a few things to say before handing over to Charlie. That increase that we're seeing, as I say, GTTR and UK Pass, that increase is coming through. What kind of is that meaning to you, and what are the issues that you're facing from a recruitment point of view? With regards to the UCAS postgraduate service, the institutions that have been on board and are on board with us have actually sort of given us fair feedback, which we're very pleased to have. They're actually seeing, since they come on board with a tailored system, which is what UK Pass is, that the conversion rates are going up. And in some cases, institutions have actually seen that they've, in using UK Pass, in some cases, the applications have been fewer, but the actual number of offers have been the same. Now, one of the reasons, it's my own opinion, but it would be interesting to see how other institutions feel, with the ability to, through the application service, and you are able to do that through the UK Pass system, is to have a tailored application rather than a generic application for research, taught, different programs. With the service, it enables you to ask specific questions for specific programs, and having that ability to tailor your applications, particularly in a recession when the applications are much, much higher, you want to get, as we've put here, round pegs into round holes. So the option to be able to tailor your application to attract the right students, ask the right questions, you're more likely to get those that are applying converting into offers and accepts. This is generally what we're seeing, but it would be interesting to get your opinion as to how you're seeing that in the recession generally. I'm going to hand over to Charlie as the main presenter in this particular slot. But if you do have any questions in relation to to UCAS and the Postgraduate Service. As the sponsor of the event, we are in the exhibition area, so please do come and see us, and we'd like to hear your own experiences. So I'll hand over to Charlie. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Moira. I'm going to be relatively brief here. I appreciate you all want coffee, and also it appears we may or may not be on fire. So what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about the small and unimportant issue of postgraduates and the recession. The recession is still obviously a very important issue, although we're out of it. So therefore, I don't know why I'm even talking about it at all. We are likely to be seeing the effects of the recession for a number of years to come, and one of the key effects will be on higher education in general and on postgraduates in particular. Let's take a look at some demographics. Just before the recession started in Q4 2008. So the summer of summer 2008, we had just under 9,000 PhD graduates, so PhDs awarded to graduates in the UK. About 27,000 PGCE qualifications, nearly 60,000 master's qualifications awarded, and 20,500 other postgraduate diplomas, largely professionally or vocationally orientated. For this reason, I'm not going to talk a great deal about PhD graduates in particular. There's no real need. They're being covered a great deal by other presenters. We have Ellen Pierce of Vitae, the excellent organisation who look after PhD students and postdoctoral trainees, postdoctoral employees, who will be talking later today and be able to tell you a great deal more in a great deal more detail than I could about PhD graduates and the agenda for them. I'm not going to talk a great deal about PGCEs either, because the issues surrounding PGCE and teaching are a little more concentrated in later careers. I'm not going to talk a great deal about other postgraduates, because we don't have a great deal of information about them. A lot of them go straight into employment and are employed in vocationally based training. And the labour market effects of taking those other qualifications are not terribly well studied. I'm going to be talking about master's graduates here. There's a number of reasons for that. Firstly, they're much the largest group. And secondly, as other people here have hinted, they're probably the largest group of students in UK universities who are not really covered or looked after by anybody. Master's graduates have been kind of left alone to get on with their own thing, master's students and graduates, for quite some time. Most of the agenda around employability and training has focused on undergraduates, and increasingly with employer engagement agenda, with foundation degrees. As I said, the excellent organisation Vitae have a remit to look after PhDs. We have TDA and associated organisations who look after PGCs. But nobody really takes care of or looks after master's graduates, and as a result, there's very little information or research on them. The recession is likely to have a profound effect on postgraduate course participation. As Moira has mentioned, we've seen an increase in the number of people who are interested in taking postgraduate qualifications. This is in line with the effects of a recession. As you can see, going back to 1976, there is a very strong correlation between early unemployment rate of undergraduates and applications to postgraduate courses. That might seem like statements of the obvious, but if you've worked in higher education research for long enough, you'll realise there's an awful lot that people think that's true, that's not obvious, and a lot of things that people think are true are obvious and not true. So it's nice to have something that's both obvious and true. There was a small increase in 2007-08. We've been going up and down the country in the past year asking impertinent questions of a number of higher education organisations and institutions. Anecdotally, and I do stress anecdotally, we hear of a great deal of interest in postgraduate study from institutions, but not just from new graduates, not just from that cohort of people who've just graduated or expecting to graduate, but also from professionals either looking to improve their career prospects in their current roles, but also people who are either looking at job insecurity or were looking at job insecurity over the last year, and are looking to enhance or even change careers, and those people who've lost their jobs and think a postgraduate qualification may be the stimulus they need in the employment market, and then a cohort of people who've lost their jobs and think, well, now's as good a time as any to take that postgraduate course I've been putting off for quite some time. And one of the things that I'm not going to cover a great deal in this presentation, because I'm looking at labour market outcomes largely, is the sense of postgraduate course, as David mentioned, as a personal and public good. Postgraduate study, and it is worth flagging that up straight away as postgraduate study as an enrichment of the mind and of personal intellectual development and in terms of its the public good of society. It's difficult to quantify the labour market effects of studying French philosophy, and nor can I and nor do I want to. It's a good in and of itself. And that is often forgotten when we look at very instrumental outcomes in this way. I don't want to suggest that studying for pleasure and studying for fun and studying for personal development should be discouraged in any respect. It's just very difficult with increasing financial commitments for people to look beyond and for the universities to look beyond outcomes and employment outcomes as a good for the postgraduate agenda. Taking a look at employment and unemployment in the last recession. The last recession began in Q3 1990. The current recession began in Q4 2008, by reference, and finished in Q4 1991. Our recession finished at the end of Q4 2009. So of similar length. But as you can see, the unemployment of postgraduates only started to peak and remained high after the recession and remained high for some considerable period afterwards. In fact, in the last recession, which, although in many respects not directly comparable with the current one in terms of the causes and the overall effects on the economy, so far has proceeded in quite a similar way in terms of graduate labour market. So as a result, we can make a reasonable stab at the idea, for example, that the graduate labour market will remain depressed until around 2013. And as we can see, the postgraduate labour market is likely to remain depressed for a number of years afterwards. That spike is people, keen numerate viewers can suspect is, in fact, due to a spike in unemployment in PhD graduates, PhD students who'd entered at the start of or entered just after the recession as the labour market effects on graduates had really started to catch up. In fact, in the last recession, it took 13 quarters after the end of the recession for GDP to get back to the point that that it had been before the recession started. And the other thing to bear in mind about the last recession is that after the recession ended, we still had one quarter of downturn in Q2 1992. It's not at all unlikely that we might see something similar this quarter or next. Taking a look at the most popular master's subjects at the moment, business studies, unsurprisingly, is the most popular subject. Management academic studies. You can read the list. What's quite stark, looking at master's graduates and master's qualifications, is that STEM subjects are actually not terribly well represented in that list. STEM graduates have a tendency to go on to PhDs in larger numbers because of the niches that are available to them in employment, in research and development, in academia. Master subjects are much more largely taken by people taking arts and humanities, social science qualifications. They also track, to an extent, the popularity of first degrees, although, as we'll see in a moment, not completely. So business studies is the largest subject at undergraduate level and is the largest subject at postgraduate level. Psychology is the fastest growing subject at undergraduate level. It's one of the fastest growing subjects at postgraduate level, numbers are not quite catching up. We expect all of these subjects to increase in numbers over the next few years, with the possible exception of business studies, which is currently oscillating around a peak of around 3,800 to 4,000. And in fact, it came down again this year. The other subject that is falling sharply in numbers, or the other major subject that's falling sharply in numbers at master's level, is computing. The reason being that the number of undergraduates in computing has dropped sharply over the last 4 or 5 years because of weaknesses in the labour market for computer science graduates linked to the dot-com crash, which had a profound effect on the UK computing sector, from which it hasn't recovered. As a result, computer science graduates at first degree level are the most likely graduates to be out of work, and at master's degree level, the picture is not dissimilar. But the key thing here is those subjects that are on the increase in the last 5 years, and I think the most interesting one to my mind is actually the top one, planning, a subject which barely exists at first degree level but is becoming increasingly popular at first master's level. These are highly vocational qualifications. The outcomes are extremely good for planning graduates. And the indications are that vocational qualifications of this nature are becoming more popular. And you can see that a lot of the subjects on the list of fast increasing are either very popular subjects at undergraduate level or highly vocational. Nursing is another that's increasing at a rapid rate, although that's got some special characteristics in that the very large majority of nursing graduate or nursing students are mature and working as nurses, and so the qualification is being taken as part of continuous professional development. And that leads to this slide. The difficulty with looking at master's graduates and the difficulty of looking at master's students and graduates as a whole, and the mistake that's been made over the years by people studying this, is to take the whole population as homogenous. In fact, very nearly half of master's graduates are part-time, and very nearly all of those part-time master's graduates are mature students with employment histories behind them. The outcomes are very, very different for the two groups. Full-time master's graduates are largely, if you like, the... What we normally think of as master's students. They're 21, 22, just out of university or with a very short employment history behind them, and they go fairly smoothly from first degree into master's qualifications. Their outcomes are not so good, and their outcomes are worsening as the recession comes on. In some subjects, their outcomes are getting very worrying indeed. In business studies in 2008, master's graduates in business studies were more likely to be unemployed 6 months after graduating than undergraduates in business studies. I think that is a very, very serious issue. Oh, my apologies, full-time business studies graduates, not part-time business studies graduates whose outcomes were uniform or almost uniformly very good indeed. But full-time master's graduates, somebody going on to a course directly from their undergraduate qualification and into a full-time master's business studies course in 2007-08 and in 2006-07 in the good times before the recession started, was actually more likely to be unemployed than somebody who'd gone straight into the labour market after their first degree. And that is a real concern. I think that is a real concern for the sector. By not segregating these two populations out, we have hidden a serious issue with the initial employability for some of the young people going on to these courses. And the reasons are actually essentially stated in some of the slides that David showed earlier. There's not an employment niche for a lot of these qualifications. Many of these graduates, and the majority of these graduates, are going back into the employment market to compete with first degree graduates for the same roles, the same jobs, the same salaries. A lot of them aren't aware of that. They expect other jobs to be available, and so they don't apply. We know that some of them have increased expectations from their degree. Some of them spend a great deal of time, and in a way, the most tragic of all, the people who put in a great deal of work to get distinctions in master's qualifications and then master's courses, and then find that they are losing out in the battle for employment against first degree graduates with excellent work experience, first degree graduates who've maybe done a short stint of employment. And this is making some of them very, very concerned and very, very unhappy about the outlay that they're making. To put it in other terms, those who did get work, you can see that the rate of employment in non-graduate occupations for full-time master's graduates, about one in six in 2008, were going into jobs that did not require a first degree, largely in office roles, but also in retail. Very different for the situation for those graduates who'd come in part-time, who were a little older and had a little more work experience, or in some cases a great deal more work experience, where about one in 18 started working in jobs that didn't require a degree. And the majority of those are actually in teaching assistant roles and office work, and had previous experience in that kind of area. So there really is a worry about some of the some of the master's qualifications that young people are going to be going to into in increasing numbers over the next few years. This all sounds very gloomy. I mean, it is worth pointing out that the majority of master's graduates, even those young full-time master's graduates, will be getting jobs when they come out of university, and they'll be getting very good jobs. But I think what this illustrates is that we do need to ensure that there is support given for these students and for these graduates. There is good quality support, good quality advice, and good quality guidance, because the concern is that a lot of them are going to these courses thinking and hearing stories that you have to have a master's qualification these days in order to get ahead in the labour market because there are so many people with first degree. And that is not necessarily the case. A master's qualification can indeed help. A postgraduate qualification in general can indeed help, but it's not a magic wand which will suddenly make you more employable in and of itself. It's all the extra things that go with those qualifications that help make people more employable. I think sometimes universities are not necessarily, they may be striving to put those messages out, but they're not always getting them across to those young people who are taking those courses. And now the bit I always dislike doing, because it's a bit about making predictions. Whenever you make predictions of this nature, they're always wrong. I don't have a crystal ball. If I did, I would be a very wealthy man, or alternatively chased out of town. The labour market is going to remain tight for a number of years after the recession. That is going to drive increased interest in postgraduate study. The labour market is, however, going to get more difficult for postgraduates in general, master's graduates in particular. They will need more support, and they will expect it. Obviously, cuts in higher education and in the higher education budget are going to make universities look at their postgraduate cohort and their potential postgraduate entry as a potential source of extra revenue. And the temptation will be to increase fees to produce more postgraduate courses. Students will not stand for it if they think they're not getting value for money, and if they think the courses they are getting are not providing them with the outcomes that they expect and they feel that they're entitled to. And to be frank, the data suggests that some of them are not getting the courses they expect and the outcomes that they are paying for. And I think it's a lesson that the sector and the HE sector needs to be very, very diligent on in the next few years. We need to be very, very careful about selling postgraduate qualifications properly, explaining exactly what they can do, exactly what benefits that they can give to you, not letting this idea go unchallenged that you have to have a postgraduate qualification in the labour market these days. It is a very, very useful thing to have, but it's not a magic panacea to employment ills. And making sure that the quality and the outcomes of these courses are what fee-paying students should expect. So thanks very much.